Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 20 is our text this morning. And we're going to preach just a little while today and give somebody an opportunity to find the Lord. Hallelujah. What a beautiful day of salvation here this morning. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm in church today on the Lord's Day. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 20. Hallelujah. Remember our service tonight, 6 o'clock. Come to the prayer rooms early. Let's pray. Bring somebody with you. Choir practice at 4 o'clock. And going to have a wonderful time here in the house of the Lord. Good to see Brother Chad and Sister Joyce here today. Bless them. Been a while since we've seen them. God bless them. You can see Brother Head here today. Been a little while since we've seen him. Hallelujah. And everybody else, God bless you today. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 20, assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Hath not the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I wonder how many times he's got to say that. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Hallelujah. God's calling the nations of the world together. Some of them that's praying to gods of wood and stone that cannot hear and cannot save. And he says it time and time again, there's no God beside me, I know not any. There's none. Look unto me and be saved. And then he says, my word's not going to return void. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. And in the New Testament, quoting that, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you for a few moments from this subject. When God builds you a prayer room. When God builds you a prayer room. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Anoint your word to our hearts. Speak to us today. Let this be a day of great change in somebody's life. Let the Holy Ghost do its work. Help us to submit ourselves to you today. Help us all today to kneel before your throne. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. When God builds you a prayer room. It has been so from the very beginning that man has needed a place to pray. Man has needed communication with God. In the very beginning, when God created Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden, even though it was a paradise and there was no sin and everything seemed to be perfect, man still needed a place to pray. And the Bible says it was in the cool of the evening that God would come and walk and talk with mankind. In the best of times, man needs a prayer room. Everyone needs a place to talk to God. But especially in the hour that we are living in, the circumstances of life that we are facing, times of trouble, times of war, times of bloodshed, times of great sin and darkness in our world, everyone needs a place to pray. Hospitals usually have a special room where people can go and get by themselves and pray. They have a chapel because they know that many times in hospital settings that there are tragic things that happen and people are faced with great needs. And so they build a chapel, they build a place for people to pray. Many times folks that are not familiar with prayer, people that have not built a prayer room in their life, find their way at times like this to pray. Jesus said, when you pray, enter into your closet. He didn't say if you pray, but he said when you pray. Everybody needs a prayer room. Your prayer room can be anywhere. It can be beside your bed. It can be at a favorite chair in your home or a sofa. It can be in a back bedroom. It can be on the carpet weeping and crying and praying before the Lord. But everybody needs a place to pray. And I want to tell you, everybody needs to use their own personal prayer room. This church is built on prayer. The most important ingredient in this church is prayer. I want to tell you, prayer is a blessing. Hallelujah. I said prayer is one of the greatest blessings that God affords man. I'm glad that the God that fashioned the ear, the Bible says he's a God that hears us when we pray. Prayer still changes things. Prayer still changes people. In fact, it does more to change people than it does anything else. That's one thing that when you can be changed, circumstances may not have to change if you can be changed. But prayer still changes things, changes situations. Impossibilities become possible when men pray. The Bible says that Moses stood between an angry God and a sinful people. When God said, stand back and I'll destroy these people and I will raise you up another nation. But the Bible says that Moses entreated the Lord and held the hand of God, tied God's hand into the place that through the power of prayer, the Bible says that God repented that he had thought any evil toward these people. The Bible tells us of Joshua in the heat of the battle when the sun was going down, that he prayed a prayer and said, oh God, let the sun and the moon stand still. And God stuck his big fist in the wheel of time and stopped the universe because of a man that prayed. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. And the Bible says the king decreed that no man was to pray to God or man for 30 days. But Daniel recognized it's more important to pray than it is to live. I'd rather die than quit praying. And so the Bible says that he prayed and he was cast into a den of lions and he prayed his way out of the den of lions. 3 Hebrew children prayed their way out of a fiery furnace, and a church prayed an apostolic preacher by the name of Peter out of a prison house. They prayed until God opened up the windows of heaven and dispatched an angel, and all of a sudden chains started falling off and doors started swinging open and the gates of the city was unlatched because of the power of prayer. I'm glad we're a church that still believes that prayer changes impossibilities. Prayer changes things. Hallelujah. Men that are godly men recognize the power and the blessing of prayer. In the time of trouble, godly people think about God. And I'll just stop to say this. It's a tragedy in anybody's life when people's troubles fail to bring them to God. If America ought to ever be praying, she ought to be praying right now. We ought to be calling out for God Almighty to help us. Hallelujah. But we find that some folks never build a prayer room in their life. In the text that I read in your hearing in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 20. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God called the nations of the world together. And he said, you fashion gods of wood that cannot save. You've got idols that cannot help you. And these are the ones that you pray to. And what God was saying is, it's time to build a prayer room. Hallelujah. God builds prayer rooms for people. And I believe I'm preaching to folks here today that there's things that are happening in your life this morning. warning that is nothing but the hand of God, because God is trying to save you. In the book of Job, the 33rd chapter and the 14th verse, the Bible says, God speaks once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. And then he talks about in a dream of the night, in visions of the night, when men lie upon their bed. In verse 19, he says that God chastens man with pain upon his bed. You mean God sends sickness? You believe God brings tragedy in people's lives? The Bible lets us know here that God does this, and he does it to keep men from the pit. In verse 23 says, he sends a messenger to warn man about his ways. Why is God doing this? Hallelujah. It's ways of God building a prayer room in people's lives where they will recognize, I need God. I need divine assistance. Hallelujah. My life is in such shambles that I cannot pull myself up by my own bootstraps. Hallelujah. I cannot save myself. I believe that God has sent me to this pulpit this morning to try to build a prayer room in somebody's life. Somebody here today that's marching toward destruction. Somebody here today that trouble has brought you to church today. Friend, it's not a time for you to turn your back on God. It's a time to pray. It's a time to seek the Lord. God's building a prayer room in your life. Oh, I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm in trouble, and because I'm in trouble now, I'm not going to come running to God. That's a foolish thing to say. And people said, I haven't lived right in the past, and I've got problems in my life because of the way that I'm living, and so I'm not going to pray now. I didn't pray when the sun was shining, so I'm not going to pray in the storm. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad God's bigger than that. I'm going to tell you, God's not some puny God that keeps a grudge, and you've done this against me, so I'm going to kill you. I'm going to tell you something today. God is merciful, and I'm going to read a few scriptures this morning and show you that God builds people a prayer room in the time of trouble. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. A good example of that is a man by the name of Jonah that God told him to go to Nineveh and preach. And the Bible says instead of doing that, he took a ship and went to Tarsus. And the Bible says that while he was on his way, that God sent a storm. Hallelujah. God fashioned a fish. And the Bible tells us that the storm raged. And you know the story. He ended up in the belly of the fish. And for 3 days and three nights, the Bible says that he cried and prayed out of hell itself. My God, how mercy on me. And the Bible says that God calls that fish to deposit that old backslid preacher, hallelujah, on the shoreline where he could go to Nineveh and preach the message God had commissioned him to preach. Hallelujah. I'm glad even in the midst of storms that our own making and trouble that is there in our life because of what we have done, that if men will build a prayer room and men will pray, God will hear the prayers of people. He told Israel, you're going to go into captivity. You're going to go into foreign countries because you're not going to remember me. You're going to be disobedient to me. But I want to tell you something. Hallelujah. In those foreign countries, I'm going to build a prayer room for you. Hallelujah. They're going to be hard against you, those foreign nations. But if you'll look toward Jerusalem, if you'll turn your face toward Jerusalem and pray, I will hear you. Hallelujah. Psalms 50 and 15, the Bible says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalms 91 and 15, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Psalms 107 and 13, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Psalms 107 and 19, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Psalms 107 and 28, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Isaiah 41 and 17, when the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open up rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water.
water and the dry land springs of water. I'm preaching to somebody here today that's thirsty, that's hungry, that's poor, that's in distress. I want to tell you, on this Sunday morning, God wants to open up a fountain. The Bible says He'll take your mirage and turn it into a pool. Somebody's in a desert today. Somebody's in a wilderness. But I want to tell you, God wants to open up the floodgates of heaven. The fountains of the deep can burst forth today. And if you're thirsty, you can drink of everlasting water. Oh, yes, you can. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jeremiah 29 and verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search me with all your heart. You know how you search the Lord with all your heart? It's when God builds a prayer room for you and you use it. Hosea 5 and 15, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Don't let anybody make you believe that God doesn't afflict people. There's people sick here this morning because of the sin that's in your life. There's people that's in trouble today because of things you've done. But I want to tell you, it's not meant to destroy you. It's meant to build a prayer room for you that you can be saved. God wants you to be saved. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. The Bible says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points was tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of trouble. Hallelujah. We have a high priest. We have one that can be moved by the feelings of our infirmities. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can come boldly before the throne of grace. Ezekiel 33 and 11, saying to them, As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? I want to tell you, there's no reason for anybody not to pray today. I said, there's no excuse for you not praying. It doesn't matter if calamity's in your life and it's there because of what you've done. I'm here to tell you, God's a merciful God. It doesn't matter if your sin is abundant up to the heavens. Hallelujah. God, when Nineveh prayed, hallelujah, the Bible says that God turned his wrath from them. Hallelujah. He repented and he thought to destroy them. Hallelujah. There's no reason not to pray. Why will you die, O house of Israel? God's saying, I'm building your prayer room. I don't have pleasure in the death of the wicked. I want wicked men to repent and live. I want you to turn. Why will you die? Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something. Even if today, and I hope this is not the case, if you refuse to pray today, I'm going to tell you, God is going to build a prayer room for you. It's not a question of if you pray. Jesus didn't say if you pray. Jesus said when you pray. Because everybody's going to pray one of these days. I'm going to tell you, our life is full of prayer rooms. God builds prayer room after prayer room to try to get people to repent, try to get people to get right. And that's what we're doing on this Sunday morning. This whole service is designed for people without God. We're ready to pray with you. We're ready to help you find God. And I want to tell you, the God of heaven's in this building today to give you a place to pray. I want to tell you, hell is full of people that would give everything in their whole existence to have one moment's opportunity to pray at an old-fashioned altar. There's an altar here today with blood on it. And it doesn't matter what you've done in your life, Jesus will forgive you and you can find salvation. Why would you perish? But I want to tell you, in closing, there is an altar, there's a prayer room that God is soon to build for
for this generation. This generation that's God haters. This generation that don't want the Ten Commandments posted anywhere. This generation that wants In God We Trust taken off our money. This generation, hallelujah, that does not want to have any remembrance of God. I want to tell you, a bunch of people that claim they don't believe in God, they're sure scared to death of God. They don't want Him mentioned in school. They don't want Him mentioned anywhere. Oh, that's right. Scared to death of a God that don't exist. Doesn't make any sense, does it? Because the Bible lets us know by nature we have some things that we know. By nature we know. Hallelujah. Look at the creation. It testifies to the existence of God. But because they did not want to retain God in their knowledge, people don't want to be, they don't want to remember God. They want to forget God. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a day, and it's coming very soon, that God's going to build a prayer room for this universe. There's going to come a day that the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Romans 14 and 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. So that every one of us will give an account of himself to God. Revelations 20 and 11, and I saw the great white throne and he that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead was judged out of those things which was written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which was in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which was in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I'm telling you, there's coming a day that God's going to build a prayer room for this last generation. And I'm going to tell you, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Those that have worshipped gods of stone and wood, those in America that's worshipped gods of materialism and pleasure and fun and sensuality and whatever, the Bible says that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The question is, what prayer room are you going to use? I'm going to tell you, God's got a prayer room today. He's got a place of prayer. He's built it for you. There's things happening in your life this morning because God's trying to save you. You think it's the worst thing that's ever happened to you, and in reality, it can become the blessing that brings you to God. Money problems, financial problems, hunger. The Bible says if you're thirsty, He's got a well of water for you. He's got what you need. It's in this building today. I want us to stand. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I was thinking over this message that I preached this morning, early, in the early hours of the day. And I recounted a story of a young man when I was a teenager, a friend of mine, lived in Newton, Texas, southeast Texas, a little sawmill town. He was the son of a Pentecostal preacher, but he never would live right, never would do right, running wild, disgrace to his family, disgrace to the church. He got him an automobile, him and another friend. He and another friend were trying this car out, and it had started raining. They actually topped a hill in front of the pastor's house, and right on the other side of that hill was a sharp curve, and running at a fast rate of speed, missed the curve, car flipped over, both of the young men were thrown out of the car. This young man was laying in a ditch. He was dying. He was about 40 feet from the other young man that had been riding with him. He literally got up and staggered over to that friend of his and collapsed on the ground, hemorrhaging inside, severely wounded, knowing that he was fixing to die. The last words he told this other teenage friend of mine was this. He said, I never thought about living for God until now and said, now it's too late. I'm going to tell you, there's a prayer room here today that God's built for somebody that if you'll pray, God will hear you. I promise you that. I promise every person in this building, it doesn't matter how much you failed God, it doesn't matter where you're at right now in your life, if you'll come repentant and you'll seek Him with all of your heart, the Bible says you'll find Him. Can I warn you, there's coming a time when a prayer room is going to be built that's not going to, it's not going to offer forgiveness. That last prayer room that's built for this generation, people are going to cry for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of He that sits on the throne. And there's going to be no hiding place. I read in the text where He's going to assemble the nations of the world that worship their false gods. And there's going to be a prayer room built. Friend, this is the time to pray. While the sun's shining, while you've got oxygen in your lungs and hot blood in your veins, and you can think, today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. There's an altar here today for somebody. I want the church to pray for a moment. Let's pray for just a moment before we offer this invitation. Pray with me, church. Please help me pray. Let's pray for God's presence to be ushered in here in a mighty way. Conviction. Look for invitation to come today in people's lives. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord, we preach today, God. We've reached today, God. People here in trouble. People here today, life is chaotic for them. People here physically sick today because of sin in their life. I know it's not always the case, God, but You do send affliction in people's lives to build them an altar. Oh, God, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, reach out today, God. Reach out today. Hallelujah. This altar's open right now. Why don't you come quickly? Come on and pray. Come on, find the Lord today. Look for